Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Food for Your Soul. We are your hosts, Elder and Evangelist White. Please go with us in a word of prayer. God, we come before you today and every day, asking thy perfect will be done in us and through us. We have read what's going on around the world, and we do not fear, nor are we in awe, because we know your holy word to be true, and we know your word will not return void. God, I ask for even more strength to stand on your word and not waver nor compromise in times like this. Someone has to truly stand, and like Isaiah 6 and 8, we say, here am I, send me. We ask that you touch every single listener right where they are. We give you glory and honor that is due unto your holy name. It is in Jesus' sweet name that we pray. Amen and amen. Good morning, good people, and good morning, Elder White.
Morning, Evangelist White. How are you this morning?
I am blessed, sir. Highly favored, on top and still rising. How are you?
I'm blessed. It's glad to be amongst the living.
Amen. Today's topic is a good one.
Amen.
The story is even better, but I know that even when we read it, we can relate in our own personal lives, and I'm sure those who will be coming on as well will be able to, you know, relate to the story as well. The topic is closer than you think.
Amen.
And the subtopic is your blessing is around the corner.
Mm.
And oftentimes, Elder, I believe that is exactly what it really is. Oftentimes we think that we're having a breakdown and we're really having a breakthrough. Oftentimes we think that it's when you're almost out of that little bit of gas and you say, I can't go no more. If you just stretch out your arm, you would be right where you need to be. But sometimes we don't realize all the work and the preparation and all the endurance and the perseverance that we had to do to get to the blessing. And just when we are about to get blessed, we just stop, and I believe that God is speaking now, saying, your blessing is just around the corner. If we can just be patient, if we can just stretch a little bit more but we don't want to stretch, if we can just go forward a little bit more and step up where we don't want to, we would receive a lot of what God has already promised us.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I know you want to get right into the story. So we are coming out of Genesis today.
Amen.
And we are going to be referencing the story of Sarah and Abraham. And Elder, can you kind of just give a small summary as far as the Sarah and Abraham and what took place as far as closer than you think a blessing that they were going to receive?
Well, first of all, it's important to understand that Abraham is the father of faith.
Yes.
You know, he left Ur when he was called by God to,
yes,
to leave his homeland, leave his kindred, leave his family. And by faith, amen, believing the promises of God, not knowing the land that he was going to receive, but just standing on the promises of God,
yes,
he took his family and he left, trusting and believing God. So first of all, it is it's the faith and the way that he counted God righteous,
yes,
that really gave Abraham a whole lot of credit and,
yes,
the fact that he stood on the promises of God.
Amen.
But Abraham was also a man.
Yes, he was.
You know, he was also
human.
A man that in those days, we know that Abraham was also pagan.
Yes.
You know, he worshipped at one time other gods.
Mm.
So there's a lot of different things that come into the mindset,
yes,
of Abram at that particular time when he, you know, the Bible was giving reference to his awesome story and his coming out. The issue with Sarah was that he was also given promises that his seed would be blessed.
Yes.
You know, that he would be a father of many nations.
Yes.
And that those who blessed Abraham would be blessed, and also those who cursed him would be cursed.
Yes.
So he was getting up in age,
yes,
as we read the story, and was promised the seed but did not receive it yet. And when God was having dialogue with him, you know, I think if you go into the 12th chapter, it,
yes,
talks about the first promise.
Yes.
And then when it goes into 15, he talks about the promise of the seed.
Yes.
And I think when he goes into Genesis 17, he starts to look at the fact that, you know, hey, look, you know, I'm 100 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could you just imagine being 100 years old and expecting to receive a seed and did not receive one?
Yeah.
And so God had promised him that the seed would come and that Sarah would bear that seed.
Yes.
But we know prior to that, that there was the handmaiden Hagar.
Hagar, yes.
You know, that, that also bore seed for Abraham, but that was not of the promise.
Exactly.
So I think what you're getting at is the fact that there's sometimes we will jump the gun and believe in that God because of the passing of time.
Yes.
That we believe that God is not going to do what he said that he is going to do.
And Elder, that is the exact thing, because even though Hagar had had Abraham, that was not what God had said was going to take place. He said Sarah was going to give him a son. And God is very specific in that in which he tells us.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is just a matter of his timing. So 10 years that had elapsed since Sarah had had her handmaid go lay with her husband, 10 years to us seems like a long time, but it could be one day to God.
That's true.
You know, and so oftentimes something that is supposed to be a blessing, it can have a detour, and it could cause a lot more pain because we did not wait. I truly believe in this particular story, God was teaching the man of faith how to have patience and wait on God. God's timing is a perfect timing.
Well, he was showing all of us,
yes,
through Abraham's story,
yes,
how it is important for us to have patience, you know, and to understand that God can make a promise,
yes,
that you may not live to see.
That's right.
But there is something that you got to have,
that's
and
right,
something that you got to know about God, that even if I don't live to see it, he is still faithful, and he still is going to bring that promise to pass.
And you know what, Elder, it just kind of, I know it sounds a little cliche, but it makes me want to wait on every choice and decision. If God has promised me, and I know God has done, he done spoke to this servant, he done promised me some things, and because it has not came like I would have wanted it to come, he's still God.
And that's the key.
And God is not, he's not like man, where man will promise you something and then not be good on it. God is not wishy-washy. But I do truly believe that if a lot of things that God has promised a lot of us right now, if he was to release it to us, just like with Sarah, we would mess it up. So sometimes God is waiting on us to get in position to be able to receive the promises that he's given. And not just that, so that it will be God that gets the glory, not none of you what you're doing. It had to be where you was in old age. It had to be where doctors said a woman should not be bearing children no more. It had to be where you was a man of, so that God could get the glory. We knew that it could be nobody else but God.
And that's the key. The thing is that we can't not have confidence in the flesh.
Right.
You know, we cannot look at anything and then put it on something else.
Mm.
That's why even when Jesus, when he rose Lazarus from the dead, he said, I'm glad that he laid in that tomb,
yes,
for 3 days. Because, you know, because anything before that, they would have an excuse to,
that's
put
right,
it on something else,
that's
some
right,
kind of sickness, or,
yes,
or bitten by something,
yes,
that put him in some kind of comatose state.
Yes.
But when you are dead for beyond 3 days, you know that the only thing that could have worked that kind of miracle is God.
Yes.
So a lot of times your situation is to put you in a natural hopeless situation, so that God can come in a supernatural way and do what he do, so that you will give him the credit, and that you will be able to go out there and testify on the goodness of the Lord. That's where faith comes in at.
And, you know, Elder, that is amazing, too, because, and the other thing, too, was how many others were bear witnessing of what took place with Abraham and Sarah. You never know how your own personal testimony can touch and help the lives of others to have that same faith be activated. Well, man, if Abraham waited and trusted on God, then, man, you know what? I'm going to wait and trust. And then before you know it, it's a domino effect.
Yeah.
You know, but oftentimes we don't really wait. We say, God, I'm waiting. God, I ain't going to move until you bless me. I'm going to be like that angel. I'm going to wrestle. And we speak all these things, and I'm sure some of us truly want to do it, but we don't. We get frustrated. We get upset. We start going before God and doubting. Isn't it something how we are supposed to be the clay and he is the potter, and yet we're telling him when we want to be released and blessed and how to mold us and shape us?
Yeah, that's the maturing thing. Mm. And that's why we don't have to really, you know, when things look crazy to us,
yes,
we
Lord.
Don't have to really, something dies on the inside.
Yes.
You know, when something dies in you then and is resurrected by God, that means that my natural, you know, state mm-hmm. having power over my spiritual state. You know, something natural, the old man,
yeah.
you know, has to die and has to be resting in the similitude of Jesus' death and
yeah.
resurrection, so that when he comes and when he appears, I can rise again with him.
Mm.
So my thing is that, you know, are we really walking by faith?
And not by sight.
You know, saying it's not what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about,
say.
But it's about the promises of God.
That's right.
And is God able
That's right.
to do what he said he's going to do?
Yes.
And then it comes back down to, do you really believe it?
That's right.
Because situations is going to try that.
Yes, Lord.
Situations is going to let you know where your faith really
That's
stands.
Right. That's right.
You know, that's what this is all about.
And you know, Elder, I just want to read a few
yes.
of the verses. The first one that I wanted to go to, you were right about the two promises, and the first one was in chapter 12. I wanted to just go straight into chapter 15, though,
okay.
The Lord's promise to Abram. After these things, it's chapter 15, starting with verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am the shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is that the Eliezer, babe?
Yeah.
Eliezer of Damascus.
Damascus.
And Abram said, Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine hire. Here, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine here, but hire. But he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine here. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he, this is very important, and he, well, we're talking about Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted him for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then after this, the prophecy of Israel bondage came, the Lord's covenant with Abram came, and then when we get into chapter 16, Sarah and Hagar, Sarah takes it upon herself, and, you know, Abram went along with it. You know, God went to him and gave him the promise. But 10 years had elapsed since that time, and Sarah and Abram took it upon themselves to make some things happen. Now, they couldn't make it happen in Sarah's womb. And I am reminded, same thing that happened with Hannah. It is God who closes the womb. Because these women still bear children. But there is a reason for a season on why he closed the womb. It is God who does it. But the enemy would mess minds up and make you think you are a barren woman. You can't produce the fruit. You can't do what your womanly body is supposed to do. But God has a reason and a season for everything.
That's right.
But Sarah took it upon herself and went to her handmaiden. And had her handmaiden sleep with her husband and bear a son. She was only being obedient to what she was told to do. sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for. Because even though Sarah wanted to bless her husband and give him a child, there was still a bitterness inside because she wanted to be the one to give him a child. And when the handmaiden was able to bless him, there was a jealousy, there was an envious, there was an anger. Now I'm mad. You are mad at the very thing that you required and asked. We have to be careful of what we ask.
There's always consequences.
Always.
There's always going to be a consequence to every church, every choice that you make. And I was
Amen.
Just thinking about,
yes, Lord.
You know, churches that sleep with so many different types of Hagars. You know,
oh,
there's
wait
a lot
a minute,
of
Elder.
There's
Let's go
a,
there.
There's a lot of Hagars. There's a lot of jumping the gun. There's a lot of things that
Jesus.
Churches are getting in bed with that is producing things that is not of God, that is not in the lines of righteousness. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
but as a result, the same thing with dealing with the circumcision and the uncircumcision. You know, it's a difference.
Yes.
You know, and the Bible talks about that in 2 Timothy.
Yes.
You know, not 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, Philippians.
Okay.
In the third chapter, it says, beware of dogs.
Mm.
Beware of evil workers.
Yes.
Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit.
Yes.
And rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. So in other words, he was talking about, you know, the circumcision that a lot of people have in the flesh. And they are satisfied with just the outward appearance
That's
of
good.
Things. But when you're looking at worship from the heart,
mm.
that is such that God looks to worship him.
Jesus.
So you have to be very careful that, you know, that you're not doing things out of your own fleshly desire to just do something naturally
mm.
and having a form of godliness but denying
the
true
power
thereof. And
Jesus.
So sometimes, you know, we get caught up in what things look like. We get caught up in forms.
Yes.
And what happens is there's no breakthrough. There's no anointing that is moving.
Jesus.
And it's because it is not in line with what God said it is supposed to be. So many times we are not operating under the promises of God.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? And there's going to be consequences.
Yes, there will
You don't have
be.
To worry about it. You know
Amen.
What I'm saying?
Amen.
There will always be consequences or fruit that
mm.
follow what you believe
mm.
and the choices that you make.
That's right.
And you can look at our lives today. We are living
yes.
With lifetime consequences
yes.
as a result of our disobedience.
Yes.
And some are as a result of our obedience.
Amen.
And this happened all the way back in the garden.
Yes.
There were consequences
yes.
For disobeying the word of God.
And you know, the thing that I love about God is that he still blessed Sarah and Abraham, but they had to go through some unnecessary pain.
There you go.
In order, like, because of Abraham listening to his wife initially and sleeping with Hagar, and she bared a child with him. Now the same woman that wanted him to have a son is saying, "Nah, he can't be here." You know what I'm saying? You send him and the girl you've been with away, and she never really looked at that in herself because it wasn't her blood and DNA that was in that child. Abraham had to look at his son and had to send him away, regardless of the reasoning why. And so sometimes, you know, there is a very hard lesson to learn, because sometimes you have to give up something that you really wanted. Sometimes you have to give up something, but it is necessary so that God can teach you how to wait and truly have faith. See, faith is not saying, "I just believe in God, I just believe in God." I see so much, Elder, going through the motions. Faith is something that initially, Abraham, he's the face of God. He believed him. What happened? You know, and the same thing with us.
What happened? What took place? Because we say, God, I believe you. God, I'm standing. I'm trusting you. I'm believing you for my healing. God, and the next thing you know, we say, now go on and cut this and go take this out and go do this and go put this in. And
well, it's the sometimes that we sometimes kind of, you know, it's a daily type of a walk that we got to have. And sometimes, you know, we have these preconceived type of notions in our mind about how things is going to work. I mean, let's just be real about it. We have things in our mind, and we have visions in our mind that is not a vision of God, but that is just a vision of our own desires, of our own, you know, interpretation. And that's what I was going to say is very important, is the way we interpret things that we see and also things that we feel. You see what I'm saying? We don't have no problem with talking about the interpretations of what we see. But when it comes down to the interpretations of what we feel, you know, God is not a respecter of that either.
No, he's not.
You understand what I'm saying? Doesn't really matter what you feel. It still goes back down to what God says. And sometimes our feelings can get so caught up in and the times and in the emotions and so forth, and we think that, you know, hey, based upon how I feel and what things look like, you know what I mean, that this is something that is not going to happen. So we take matters into our own hands. So it is so important that, you know, and that's why fasting is so important.
Consecrate,
that's why,
yes,
you know, praying
definitely.
And doing those things and fasting, because that deals with keeping your flesh under subjection, you know, when your emotions and your feelings and everything gets all out of whack by constantly trying to, you know, do things to control your flesh is very important. Some things only going to be come through fasting and
that's
praying.
Right. And you know, Elder, that's so good, because the being set apart, that's why we consecrate. You know, you don't realize it sometimes, and I know for me, if I'm too much in my flesh, I'm doing too much thinking. I'm trying to make things happen too much. God will tell me, pull back and consecrate. Because oftentimes you don't realize, but you're moving because somebody is telling you to, because you're thinking this is what you're supposed to do. And then you start spending so much time trying to figure out, why isn't this thing working? And sometimes God has to remove you from a certain situation, and sometimes not physically. Sometimes he just removes you out of the equation so that he can be God and do exactly what he needs to do. And I am one that is very opinionated and don't think I know everything, but I know some things. And it frustrates me sometimes when you're trying to say what God has said and it doesn't come across that way. So sometimes God has to say, be quiet, because it's me who said it.
Yeah.
So let me be the one that performs it. Because, see, if you're not as strong as you need to be emotionally, you'll take the rejection personally, not realizing that they're rejecting the Jesus in you. You'll start thinking they're just rejecting you. And so then God can't do what he needs to do. So sometimes he will consecrate you and separate you, so that not only he can get the glory, but so that the very thing that you've been trying to speak about will come to pass.
Amen. And what I love about so many of the many clouds of witnesses that we have in the scriptures that really, you know, I would suggest, for the sake of time, I don't know how much time we have left, but that you know, you read Hebrews, the 11th chapter, when it talks about Abram and Sarah also, and has those witnesses who say very clearly that they sought a country far off, you know what I'm saying, a heavenly city, you understand, a heavenly country that they sought, and died in the faith, you know what I mean, not even receiving the promise, but living on the promises of God. I love that. I love the fact that there's something in me that can live on the promise, even though it did not naturally come to pass and may never come to pass, but I seek a heavenly home.
Yeah.
And because my mind is set on heaven, whether I see it here in the natural or not, it was strong enough to carry me through my waiting period.
Yes.
It was strong enough to carry me through and give me and teach me patience as I wait, you know, because God is faithful to do what he said he was going to do. So I don't have to do anything that does not line up with the promises of God.
Let me ask you, Elder, patience, there is a season. There is a season for us to not just be patient, but there's a season where we say we're patient, but then there's a season that patience is really going to show itself. Are you really being patient through the season? Sometimes we do things out of flesh and we call it God.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have not been patient enough to wait on God to do the perfect work that he started. The same thing that with Abraham and Sarah. And I can see in my own life too, there has been times when I have went before God and said, God, I thought you promised me this. And he said, I did. But I didn't tell you when.
Exactly.
I just promised it. So it's a patient thing that even though I don't see it now, I'm still waiting patiently on you. And I'm going to continue to go through life the way you want me to. And I'm not going to hold this bitterness, and I'm not going to be upset, and I'm not going to sit there and be stomping my feet because I'm telling you I want it now. I want you to give it to me when you are ready to give it to me. And just like Abraham and Sarah, and just like what you just said, if I don't get it now, I can hold on to the promise that you did come and speak to me and promise me something great.
Yeah, it's all about God. It's all about he who promised.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? It all goes back to, you know, what are you going to do in the meantime while you're waiting? You know what I mean?
That's
Is
right.
there still anything to feel good about?
Yes, Lord.
Is there still anything to have strength in?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
While I'm waiting,
yes.
those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
So it is what you do in your waiting period
yes.
as you're waiting for the promise to come. But can you say, even if the promise don't come, I'm grateful
right.
because my mind, amen, and my spirit is connected to a heavenly home.
Yes. Sure.
That I know at the end of the day, all of this that I see is going to pass away.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So whether God does it in this life or the next,
yes.
I know he's still going to do it
yes.
because the Bible declares that his word would not return to him void.
That's right.
But it's going to do what
That's
he
right.
set it out to
yes.
do. I'm not worried about that.
Amen.
So since I know the promises, the problem is we don't know what God promised.
Well, wait a minute, Elder. I know I'm about to step on some shoes. So I know some people who have been promised a husband. I know some people who've been promised a church. I know some people who've been promised certain things, and they did not wait on God.
Mm.
Do not try to move in self because you will mess that thing up. Don't go try to choose your own husband. Don't go try to go do something and get yourself up in debt in church. God, you never know. God might want to just touch somebody's heart and bless you with a building with no mortgage payment.
He can
That's
do
the
it.
Kind of God we serve. So we have to truly wait on God. Are we really waiting? And Elder White, I do believe that it's not just about the waiting that God is trying to show us. It's what we do in the waiting period. Are we mumbling and complaining, or are we truly waiting?
And, you know, we don't want to lose fact, too, that, you know, this is a trial and error thing.
Yes, Lord.
Because the promises of God has to come forth because it's predestined.
Yes.
There's certain things, but even in those learning experiences, those
yes.
consequences that you're going to have to carry with you maybe for the rest of your life, that still does not mean that you do not have hope. But have you learned the lesson? Have you learned obedience to the things that you suffered is the
Jesus
key.
Is.
You know, not to just keep going back and keep doing the same thing, doing it the way you want. For me, and you know, I know we probably running close to that time, but for me, what did it was knowing that I in my flesh have made choices that cost me,
yeah.
and I've learned from those choices
right.
to now be at a place where I don't want to do anything outside of understanding
of
and knowing what the will of God is.
Amen. That's beautiful, Elder. Wow, what a lesson. Closer than you think. Your blessing is around the corner. We want to thank you for tuning in today to Food for Your Soul. We pray that a scripture that was read or something that was said, we just ask that it not only gave you clarity, but it just caused you to want to stand even more and wait on the promises that God has promised you. We just want to thank you for tuning in. If God says the same, we will be back again next week, same time. I just want to give a shout out to my son, Demel. Was his birthday yesterday. Happy blessed day.
Happy birthday.
I also want to thank God for bringing our other son back safe from Alaska. If nobody else tells you today, God loves you, and so do we. And we just ask that you guys will continue to be a blessing for one another. I am your host, Evangelist White.
And I'm Elder White.
And we are signing out. God bless.
Be blessed.